Welcome to the Make Room Show, formerly titled The 29-Minute Mom. I am your host, Jennifer Ford Berry, certified professional organizer, best-selling author, and coach. I've spent the last two decades teaching women how to get organized so that they can free up more space, time, energy, and money. This podcast is for the woman who wants to make room in her home and in her life for the people and the things that matter the most. Each week, I am bringing you episodes that will help you feel less overwhelmed and more inspired to create the life that you deserve. So come on, girl, let's do this together. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Make Room Show. I am super excited to have a guest on today that's going to help you not only feel better, but reduce your stress. And we all know as women, our ears will perk up if somebody's going to tell us how to reduce stress. So welcome to the show, Chantel Donnelly.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So happy to have you. So you are a physical therapist. And you are also the new author of Settled, How to Find Calm in a Stress-Inducing World. So congratulations on your book.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, I'm excited to see how these two worlds collide. So I'm sure that you probably were a physical therapist not planning on writing a book. I probably could guess that, right? And then yeah. You saw a need, right? So what was that need that you determined?
It was a need within myself, but it was also a need within my patients. So what I was seeing is patients were just, you know, getting better on my table and feeling better and then going out into their stressful lives, whether it was their jobs or their relationships or, you know, whatever it was. There's so many different kinds of stressors out there. And, you know, it was upregulating their connective tissue, which is what I had just sort of unwound. So everything would just wind back up again. And I got frustrated. And at the same time, I was going through a lot of stress myself. And I was like, what is missing here? There's something missing. And I really thought that I was going to be going into a totally different career because I was so determined to figure out the solution to the stress piece. And when I started doing the research, what I found is that my anatomy and physiology knowledge, as well as my physical therapy background, was actually the exact thing that I needed, because stress starts in the body and then it becomes about our mind and our thoughts ping-ponging everywhere. But it starts with what's happening in your body. And so it's been kind of cool to be able to incorporate my physical therapy with the stress science. And it just kind of took off from there. So much so that when I was talking to my friends about it or my clients about it, they were like, you should write a book. Okay. So I did.
Mm-hmm. So do you find that the stress, when it shows in the body, that's like the last, that's like our body's last chance at saying, hello, wake up. There's a lot of things affecting you.
So it's interesting. The body is actually first. What we feel is the insomnia or the neck pain or, you know, whatever it is that is your physical ailment. These diseases are related to stress. Mm-hmm. And that's when we think, oh, well, now my body is screaming at me. But there are whispers that happen long before that. Actually, long before the negative self-talk and all that stuff that happens, it's actually the body that talks first. And we're just not really trained in how to listen to that. And that's really what the book is about, is just more self-awareness, more body awareness, so that we can kind of stop that downward spiral of stress from happening before it gets to the point where we have insomnia or we have the aches and pains or we have the diabetes or the cardiovascular or the brain fog, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that, because I'm definitely one of those people that can, I believe I can heal my own body. And I just kind of walk around thinking that. And so I listen intently to it. So talk about those whispers. What are some whispers that maybe you've seen a lot of that people ignore?
Yeah. So what we call that, what you're doing when you're feeling your internal body sensations, the scientists call it interoception. And I call it soul speak. Like you're really listening to what your body is trying to tell you. And sometimes that's intuition. And sometimes that is your heart rate. Sometimes it's the way in which you're breathing. Are you breathing from your neck? Are you breathing from your belly? Is your breathing shallow? Is it deep? Sometimes it's tingles in the body, kind of after somebody says something, right? And you get that sensation. And a lot of times we just kind of ignore that stuff. Sometimes it's a feeling of being cold. You know, there are all these really subtle things that we kind of dismiss, really, because we've been taught that what makes us so special is our minds. And that's true, but what really makes us so special is that our body and our minds are a two-way communication street. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's that communication back and forth that is really what makes us so special. What we're finding is that although we prioritize brain down stuff, so mindset and psychology and all that, and that stuff is all amazing and wonderful. Meditation is all brain down. It's basically trying to get your brain to talk to your body. What we're finding is that this two-way street that happens between the brain and the body, it's actually 80% of the communication is going up from the body to the brain, and only 20% is coming down. And we know that because the main freeway is a cranial nerve called your vagus nerve. And when they, you know, dissect the vagus nerve, they can see that there are these afferent and efferent type nerves that are going up and down. And 80% of it is body talking to brain.
So is that just the natural way that it works, or is there a way to make it a little bit more the opposite? Like with all these things that we're learning, like meditation, are we helping it, or is it just set this way?
So I think we are helping it, but I think the emphasis on this is the only way to do it might be hurting some people, because not everybody is able to get into the right mindset. So when you're really stressed, if you think about it, your brain kind of goes offline, right? So a lot of the meditation and the mindset stuff, it's kind of like trying to talk to a toddler who's having a tantrum, yeah. Right? Like, I think your kids are a little bit older, right? But remember when they were toddlers? So like a three-year-old who's thrown himself down on the ground and is like totally tantruming out, and you're like trying to talk to him and reason with him, and it's okay, you can get candy later. It's going to be... They can't even hear you, let alone process and try to reason with that, right? That's kind of what we're trying to do when we talk to our brains when we're super stressed. Our brain is not online at that point. So actually, we should be talking to our bodies, which will then allow the brain to come back online.
Right, right. So we know that stress causes a lot of disease, right? We know that. But I think it's interesting to... I always think when I talk to people that are really educated in how the brain and the body work, that it blows my mind how literally God made us so complicated, but so we work so well. So talk to us a little bit about like how to create a more positive mindset with self-care, and then how does that translate to our body? So if you're feeling like, if there's a lady listening to this today and they're like, you know, I've definitely been experiencing those whispers, but I want to take action. I'm not really sure how. I want to be more intuitive and I'm ready for a change. What does that look like, Chantel?
Yeah. So, you know, positive mindset and self-care, sometimes we need to kind of take a step back. A lot of times what's happening with our self-care and our positive self-talk is that it's actually just escapism. It's kind of just interrupting our stress. So we want to make sure that our self-care is actually down-regulating our nervous system. Okay, so what do I mean by that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Tell us more. We need to hear this.
Yeah, so what's happening is like you can take... You know, you can go for a run, you can take a yoga class. Let's say those are your self-care. Maybe it's a hot bubble bath, whatever your self-care is. If you step out of that self-care and your level of stress goes right back up to baseline where it was before you did that self-care, you're probably not down-regulating your nervous system. And, you know, we keep doing it. I almost feel like we're becoming junkies for our self-care because they're not down-regulating our nervous system. So we do more and we do more and we do more. And then we feel bad if we don't get to it. And then that brings on more stress. So we have all these sort of negative feedback loops happening where our self-care is actually making us more stressed because A, it's not helping us really where it needs to help us. And B, now we feel guilty because we've been told that it should help us. So now there's some shame and some guilt and some sort of frantic attempt to try to do more. And there's only so many hours in the day to do self-care, right? Mm-hmm. So what I teach in my book, and I have, I don't know, 25, 30 tools, and most of them are like 30 seconds long. And they're tools that can help you downregulate your nervous system. I'm not saying to give up your hot bath or your exercise. I'm a physical therapist. I'm not going to tell you not to exercise. But what you might want to do is change the way you're doing those things so that you know for sure that your nervous system is downregulating, right? And really it's about giving your body a sense of support and safety, right? Versus a sense of escaping from reality. And I'll give you some tangibles.
Give us some examples. Like, cause I love when guests give us takeaways that we can start implementing today. So,
right. Yeah, for sure. So, well, okay. So hot bath, like if you're a mom of three and your husband's not home and you've been told that a hot bath is what's going to help you. And the whole time you're worried the kids are going to burn down the house, not your tool, right? So number one is don't assume that everything that everybody tells you, if your best friend tells you that the hot bath works for her, take that with a grain of salt. Yes, thank you, I'll try it. But if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. And the way to know if it's not your thing is to check in with yourself and say, like, am I really feeling like I'm calming down? And do I feel like I have more bandwidth and more capacity to handle what's going on in my life when I'm done, even just a little bit? I'm not saying like you feel like you can conquer the world, but even if you feel just a little bit more positive, a little bit lighter, a little bit like you can breathe around everything that you have on your plate, then you know that your hot bath or whatever it is has helped you, right? So one thing you can do is add certain, like I said, 30-second tools to see what helps you. And then you don't have to worry so much about getting to all of those self-care rituals that you feel you need. So I'll do breathing just because everyone's heard of breathing and it's super easy, but I think people don't really understand why breathing works and how it might work. So when you inhale, your heart rate speeds up a little bit. When you exhale, your heart rate slows down a little bit. So we can kind of use the physiology that we were born with, that we were like blessed with really, and take advantage of it. And we can make our exhales longer than our inhales. And basically, so like 3 inhales in, 6 exhales out, right? Something like that, or it can be 4 in, 6 out, just anything where the exhale is longer than the inhale. What that does is it tells your body, we're calming the heart rate down a little bit. It's just a little bit. We're just going to calm it down a little bit. That sends a message up to the brain that, oh, we're safe. We're supported. Everything is good. We don't need to go into panic mode, right? And then you get your homeostasis, which basically just the heart rate goes back to normal, right? So now instead of the hot bath, you've calmed your heart rate down, which has sent that message up to your brain of, no, we're okay. Right? So if you were to just to inhale through your nose for a count of 3, and then exhale either through your nose or your mouth for a count of 6, and just check in and see how that feels. Mm-hmm. Not going to work for everybody. Like I said, you got to find your own tool, right? But right. That one is a biggie for a lot of people. It really helps a lot of people.
Okay. What's another tool?
So there's something called the butterfly hug. And I like this one because again, it's like 30 seconds. So this one was designed by a woman who created EMDR, which is a type of therapy that helps with trauma. And there's a story about how there was a hurricane in Mexico and they were trying to help a big group of people and they couldn't get to everybody individually. And they were all very stressed out because of what had happened. And they created the butterfly hug as a way of sort of getting everybody in a group and just teaching this little short little thing that was going to help people. So the way you do the butterfly hug is you bring your hands up towards your face with your palms facing you, and you cross your hands in front of you, and you place your hands on your chest so that your fingers are just kind of under your collarbones. You can also do this where you cross your hands and just grab your shoulders either way, but you want your hands to be crossed. And then you're going to tap one side and then the other. So it's right, left. You don't want to tap both sides at the same time. There's something about the alternating tactile stimulation that is very calming to the nervous system. And so you just tap like that. And you can tap kind of anywhere on your body, really. You could tap on your legs if you wanted to. If you were sitting at a table having a difficult conversation with someone and you didn't want them to see you do this, you could do this on your legs. And that works as well for some people. And that is just, it's one of those things that a lot of people just immediately feel a softening in their body when they do that. And they don't need the hot bath or they don't need the meditation. You know, it just kind of settles their thoughts. It settles their heart rate, settles their breathing, slows them down a little bit, just makes them more in touch with what it sounds like you're really good at, which is interoception. It just kind of improves that for them.
Yeah, that's really good. So let's talk about a little bit about the connection between stress and clutter, because you know I love this stuff. Yeah. And I want to hear, I would love to hear from somebody from your side of the fence on what that looks like for you compared to how it comes across from somebody like me who's coached people on eliminating clutter. But maybe we can give them some scientific reasons even more than I know, and that would encourage them and motivate them to do so. So what do you have?
I love this topic too. I think this is fabulous. Decreasing clutter calms your nervous system. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you know this, but you help people calm their nervous systems.
I do know that. I don't think people realize how much clutter affects their nervous system at all. They just know that they're annoyed or stressed out or overwhelmed. They're not really sure why.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, well, there's a couple of interesting things about clutter. So it does decrease, when you decrease clutter, it does calm your nervous system. The reason why, and I think this is important, the reason why is because it increases your sense of your body, your interoception. Okay. When there's so much stuff around us, too many clothes, the knickknacks, the piles everywhere, the too many choices. What that does is it's too much noise in our external environment. So our internal environment is hard to attend to, right? So that's why I say that it improves your interoception by decluttering your house, because now you can go inward. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you have had clients, I'm sure you have, who have desperately wanted to organize their homes. They come to you, obviously, if they're coming to you and they're paying you money to organize and help you and help them, they want the help. Mm-hmm. They have mentally decided that they want to change. Mm-hmm. Right? And have you found that some people get stuck and it's really hard for them, whether it's that they can't do it, like they say they're going to do it, they say they're going to declutter and they don't, or they declutter, they feel really good, but then they start bringing back all the clutter and it starts all over again, like a bad habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very common.
Okay. My theory with that, and I this is just a theory, so take this however you want, but my theory is that despite wanting to declutter, what I think happens is that some people are having too many feels. And going inward doesn't really feel all that good, right? So whatever is going on in their life is causing their heart rate to be too high and their muscles to tense up and all of that stuff. And if they attend to their body by organizing their house and now finally they can kind of feel what's going on within themselves, it doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And so I have found that if you can calm the nervous system, which will help them be able to tolerate what's going on in their body, build a capacity for those uncomfortable feelings, I find that then they're on board completely, 100% wholly with this desire to clean up the space. And that's been kind of a game changer for a couple of friends of mine who, you know, for like 5 years, I had one girlfriend who was like, really, my house bothers me so much. It bothers me so much. And she had piles everywhere. And it was causing, you know, problems within her marriage and just, but she could never get herself to do it, even though mentally she was all there. She was all in and she had the right attitude and, but she just couldn't get herself to do it. And she has a very stressful life, you know, three kids and lots of financial stuff going on and blah, blah, blah. And I think it was bringing too much anxiety into her body that was already there, but the clutter was kind of dampening that. It was a coping strategy for her, really, to have all of that stuff in her house.
Yeah. And it's a distraction. You can be distracted by, you know, organizing, decluttering, bringing stuff in, taking stuff out, rearranging, and you don't have to sit with yourself and feel. And a lot of times I've noticed this when we're working on a space and there becomes more floor space showing. So I might go in, there's furniture on all ends of every wall, and it's kind of like a boundary, a barricade of stuff. And if we remove some things, because really that will look cluttered no matter what you do, if every wall is outlined. So when we move stuff around, take some smaller items away and maybe like baskets or things like that, and there's actually clean floor space, that can make people feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to seeing open space. And then it tells me that they really have more work to do because that clutter is a protection. It's a barrier. And when you take it away, they feel a little bit more like vulnerable. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's just too much empty space. They're not quite sure what you're going to do with it. And then if you look at that from an internal point of view, if you clear out the mental clutter, the emotional clutter, the spiritual clutter, then it's very relatable to the physical, where now you have to take a look at it and there might be more space available and you're not sure what to do with that. It can be more energy available. It can be more time available and you're just not sure how to fill that. And you're not used to just sitting in it with that open space. You're not
exactly. You know,
yeah. So I see how it translates physically, but that's exactly what's kind of going on inside, right?
Yeah. And I love that you're aware when you're working with people that that anxiety can come up with that increased space. I think that's really great and helpful for them because you can take away that there's sort of a beating yourself up thing that happens when you start cluttering again. Right. And mm-hmm. So you can take that away for them and go, look, you're dealing with some other stuff here. It's not just the clutter. The clutter is a symbol of something. And how do we get to you being feeling good about having that extra space, mm-hmm. physical and mental, both, and being able to go inward without that feeling super scary, right?
Right.
And what I suggest to people is, you know, if you don't want to revert back to your old bad habits of bringing stuff in and having too much stuff, or if you are just having trouble getting going on your organizational journey, and I don't know, I'm sure you use these tools already, but maybe your listeners don't know about them, but you really need to create sort of a safe environment for yourself. And when we are playful, there's no way to be playful and feel unsafe at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. If we're in play mode, our body doesn't feel like it's in danger, right?
Right.
So creating playfulness and even sexiness, because we don't think about sex when we're in danger either. So lighting candles and playing the best fun, awesome music that you love, and just being really giggly about what you're doing, and maybe bring in your best friend to help you. You know, there's all sorts of ways to sort of design your declutter project so that it feels super playful and light, mm-hmm. and happy. You don't want people going into their declutter project as if they are storming the shores of Normandy, right? Like, right. We're not getting into the boxing ring here. This has to feel light and good and fun. And so anything you can do in that respect, and then also slowing down. Because when we rush, we are suggesting to our brain, which is interpreting what's going on in our body, that there's an emergency, mm-hmm. that something's wrong, right? And so all of this rushing that we do can really and truly feel dangerous to the body. And that seems really weird, but if you'll notice, if you slow yourself down, you can feel in your body that your heart rate will slow down as well, right? And so that's just a reset for your nervous system of, oh, okay, we're safe, we're good. This decluttering project is not dangerous. And then you don't get that anxiety coming up when you start to clear space.
Yeah, it's so true. Because I truly do enjoy the process. And I don't feel rushed. My brain doesn't tell me I need to be organizing 3 rooms in a day. I can know that this is the beginning and this is the end point. And I think a lot of times people feel like they have to do it all today. They won't have another day to organize. They've barely got 2 hours this time. And that makes them feel rushed. But also that's when you just put a Band-Aid on a space. It's not really curing anything. And so when you work with somebody like me or another organizing coach, you have to do the whole process correctly. There's no Band-Aid. And so a lot of times people are uncomfortable with that because the clock is ticking. But right. if you're not going to have time to do it correctly, there's really no benefit in doing it at all, because it's just going to go right back to where it was. You haven't walked through the emotional and psychological pathway to get there. And you're just going to revert back to your old habits. And you're not going to enjoy the process at the same time. But if you can look at your space and say, wow, even if it's the smallest space in the world, even if it's just, you know, a linen closet, and you could say, I emptied this closet out and now I see this fresh, clean space here, and I can enjoy filling it how I want to fill it in any way I want to fill it. And I don't feel rushed. Then it's more fun. If you add music, which a lot of times clients will want to hear the fun music. I mean, that always makes me want to do more things in my house when I'm playing music. And I do like the candles. That can be as simple as if I want to sit down at my desk and get work done, I'll put on a nice candle just to make me happier in my space. Or it can be if I want to be moving and grooving and getting stuff done. But I do think what you're saying is very important. Whatever you can do to enjoy the process more, you should do it. If you want to have somebody come and laugh with you all along the way, do it. I mean, there's been many organizing projects where I've laughed my head off with a client, you know, you never know what you're going to find. Right. Yeah. So, but the more fun. So I think that's really important to, and not feel so rushed, because the only deadline is really the ones we impose on ourselves.
And I would say that the people who are coming to you who want to get so much done really, really fast, and are feeling, you get a sense that there's a franticness about it.
I feel so that.
Yeah. And so already there's a signal that they're already starting out in fight or flight mode. And you go into decluttering in fight or flight mode, and it is not going to go well. Right. No. So I think maybe just even doing a couple of tools right before you go into that, so that you can feel just a little bit better about the process from the get-go, you know, and like you said, instead of putting a Band-Aid on it, it's kind of like going back to our discussion about self-care, right? Self-care can be a Band-Aid, or it can be the actual thing that you need for your nervous system and have some lasting effect. And it's the same way with the decluttering. If you go into it with a calm nervous system, you will remain in a really decluttered home probably after that, all is said and done.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that's, to me, all of that internal battle is another form of clutter that you just, it's like sometimes we rather focus on the exterior clutter so we don't have to focus on the interior clutter. Cause that's hard. Nobody likes to feel all their feelings sometimes. And it can be, but there's also that tie in where if I'm bringing more stuff, if I'm out and I'm doing retail therapy a lot and I'm covering myself with all the stuff, I'll feel more comfortable, more safe. And more important, there's a big thing to be said with this, is that a lot of marketing companies out there are teaching us that we are more important with these things, right? We are more successful. We are all the things because we have these products, but we have to remind ourselves that they're getting paid big money to teach us that method and to have us buy into that belief. And if you keep buying things and bringing it into your home and you are happy briefly, but then those things aren't making you happy 6 months to a year from now, that's when you know it doesn't work.
Right. Exactly.
You have to face the internal clutter.
Right. Exactly. And being able to face that internal clutter again, and really being able to manage the feels, because a lot of times the feels are too much.
Yeah.
That's really where the nervous system stuff comes in, so that you can feel what's going on and be able to clear your space, the literal space and the metaphysical space.
Yeah. Why do you think it's so much more important for women to manage stress as they get older? That was one of the questions that we talked about.
Yeah. So when our sex hormones decrease, cortisol increases.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a balance between those two. And so we end up in perimenopause and menopause. And even before perimenopausal symptoms, there's a decrease in testosterone in women. And so that will cause an increase in cortisol. I know for me, before I went through menopause, in my early 40s, I woke up one day and I was like, what happened to my muscles? Where'd they go? That's that decrease in testosterone. And at the same time, I was feeling more sensitive to stress. And that was just that there was, it wasn't necessarily that there was stress in my life. It was that there was cortisol in my body. And so I felt stressed. And so that's where women need to slow down as they go through 40s and 50s and 60s. Because again, that's going to tell your nervous system that you're calm. It just becomes that much more important to deal with our stress in our life because our sex hormones are in flux.
Are you a person that believes in taking additional hormones if you need it?
Oh, loaded question.
I know.
I think it's so individual. I think it's really so individual. I mean, I'm a person who, this might be too much information, but like on the pill when I was in my 20s, the pill made me suicidal. So fluxes in estrogen in particular, probably progesterone too, are really hard for me. After I had my child, I went through 6 years of postpartum depression. And that was, again, another flux in hormones. So fluxes in hormones are just huge to my body. I don't know why. I have no idea. But I'm a person who would probably want to be on hormone therapy. And indeed, I am. And then there's lots of research to show that it really helps women prevent Alzheimer's. But again, I think it's really individual.
Right.
Some people are supernatural and don't want to go there. And you can find ways with food and behavioral changes that can help. And if that works for you, great. I don't really take a side on that. I think it's really individual.
Yeah, really good. Well, I feel like we've talked about all the things today, Chantel.
Yay.
I mean, really interesting. But I think the bottom line is our bodies are made perfectly, and we need to pay attention to how our environment affects our body. And then also all of the whispers that it can be a clue that we have to make a change and do something differently. But the coolest part about this entire situation is that we have the choice. We have the power within ourselves to choose differently at any given time. And so if you listen to this episode today and you're like, man, I really have felt super stressed out, then that's when it's a nudge to do something different. What you're doing now isn't working. So how can they find out more about you if they're just like, you know what? I need more of this. I need to kind of write my path. I know that I'm headed down a very stressful path and I'm tired of it.
Yeah. So I have a company called Body Insight. So they can go to my website. It's bodyinsight.com. I have a lot of videos on Instagram. I just did the butterfly hug actually on Instagram. So they can check that out. And that is Body Insight Inc. is my handle at Instagram and the same handle at Facebook. And my book is called Settled, How to Find Calm in a Stress-Inducing World. And that's available wherever you can get books online.
Awesome. Yeah. Yay. Well, thank you so much for being on the Make Room Show. I appreciate it. And I think that it goes along with the vision for the show, because you have to choose what you're making room for, and not everything can stay in order to live your best life. You have to decide what also needs to go. So this has been really good.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. And thank you to everyone listening. Until next time.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to make sure that you knew that the Created Order Neighborhood is my weekly coaching program that helps women live a life of intention and purpose. And we are currently taking on new neighbors. So if you are interested, go to jenniferfordberry.com and check out the Created Order Neighborhood. I would love to work with you and help you make room for the people and the things that matter the most in your life.